We'll see how we get on. Apart from a family service, this is the first time I've preached in this church in 10 years. And this message is something that probably has been 4 years plus in the generation. But before I do that, I just want to think, just pull back a thought. I think I could get my head around being in the company praising God in heaven. But it's a big, big step to go beyond that to He wants to talk with me. And that's what this is really about. I have to put a prayer, a love affair. Interesting. That's quite an odd one for me, because Sheila will know that I'm very much into reading the Bible, and she's the one that does the prayer. So this is a bit of a kind of beat me around the head about prayer as well. And perhaps we'll come back, because I've made it too difficult. And I want to look at it in a much more simple way. But this message is also about the way forward, I believe, for us as churches together. My gifting probably is more seeing things far out and then trying to bring them into place. So I'm going to set the scene of what I believe God has been laying on my heart, and hopefully you'll see us where we go with prayer as far as that is concerned. Just as a matter of interest, how many of you get the UCB prayer thought for the day? Quite a few. Interesting. You looked at the topics the last couple of days and the next few days. Very appropriate, perhaps. I have had four or five things which I've believed God has laid on my heart over a long time. And the first one, I can't remember if it was in here or whether it was up at the school, one Sunday morning. So I know it's 4 years plus. And that was, I can't remember the service at all, apart from, I can remember God saying, "What does the city of God look like?" And I haven't got a clue. And I think it was rhetoric. It was, "I'm going to get you to think about this. This is more than just our fellowship." Now, I like my prophecies, if you like, my words from God to come with scriptures. So quite a few of them have come with scriptures, which we will go through. And the next one came nearly 3 years ago. I can place it because a number of the leaders were going off to Harrogate. And it was, "No one lights a lamp and hides it, but makes sure it's visible." And it came from this scripture. I was reading this, and, you know, "No one lights a lamp and hides it in a jar or puts it under a bed. Instead, he puts it on a stand so that those who come in can see the light." Now, we normally think about that for each of us individually. But I felt it was very strongly about this building and our fellowship. And I put it to Richard to take away. And yes, there was that. And I think it also, there was echoes of it coming out in the talks up at Harrogate. And it is one that I think we must never take for granted. God has given us this building. And actually, if he's going to give us this building, he's going to make it work. You know, and that's what that's about, really. You know, I, as in God, have given you this building, and it is not going to just disappear. I am going to make it shine. But I also think it's us as a fellowship, we have to partner with it as far as that's concerned. So yeah, that was my second one. The third one was a general dawning of we can't do it alone. If we're going to make this the city of God, it's going to look like that. We have got to work with the other fellowships, the other churches, with God, obviously. And it was very much like pull back the bow as far as that's concerned. We have... He doesn't want to work from a single point. He wants to work through all of the churches. And Christians, wherever we are. That's another one without a scripture, sorry. Then, some of you know, we went down to Eastgate 2018. We were sent down on a quasi-leadership team. And we went down in January. It messed with our heads somewhat. And anyway, came back the next week. And I can't remember why, but either Sheila or I was having serious coughing, so we were in different bedrooms as far as this is concerned. And about 2:30 in the morning, God woke me up and said, I'm going to download you where the strategy for the church is. And I thought, okay, I better get myself sorted. And I take that, it's not, you know, I know where we're going, but it's just, you know, this is key. And he told me the fruits of the Spirit, and I'm going, what? I'm not sure I can get this. This is before we did the series on the fruit of the Spirit. And I want to look at those ones at the moment. Just read them if you like. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. And I thought, Lord, what, you know, how come that's the strategy? And God goes, well, let's think about this a minute. The fruit is the essence of the plant. The Spirit is God. So the key is the essence of God. And he wants to give it us. And actually they say so often that we are the first Bible people read. And if we can demonstrate God through how we are, the fruit has the seed for the next generation. The fruit has the seed for the next generation. So within this, and I don't know how it works, a lot of these I'm trying to process, and I'm kind of sharing them for the leadership to process as well, because they're almost the way of it rather than it is it. But I'm looking at that and thinking, there's a lot more I need to learn in that. I know God is good. Well, I think I do. I know God is love. Yeah, I've got that one a bit more. But actually, joy? I need to get that one a little bit more. And actually, patience in another one says long-suffering. And I go, hang on a minute, Lord, why am I suffering? Well, actually, long-suffering is bringing it into place. So, in all of this, and this is only the prelude to the affair, I encourage you to study the fruit of the Spirit. I know Richard has said, don't seek the fruit of the Spirit, seek the gifts. And I quite agree with that, because that's scriptural. But I believe there is so much more God wants to show us through an understanding of Him, if you like, in thinking of Him as love, joy, peace, patience, gentleness, faithfulness, goodness, and self-control. And as we understand that better, we will show it better, and that will be where we're going. And then last autumn, a fifth one came up. God, it wants to increase the impact of as we go out. Well, actually, that wasn't quite what he said to me. The scripture he gave me was this, Ezekiel 47, 1-5. And I haven't got it on a piece of paper, so I'm going to have to turn around and read. Pardon me. The man brought me back to the door of the temple, and there was water flowing from under the threshold of the temple towards the east. The front of the temple faced east. The water was flowing from under the right side of the temple, south of the altar. He brought me out by way of the north gate and led me around the outside to the outer gate that faces east. And there was water running out on the south side. And when the man went out to the east with a line in his hand, he measured 1,000 cubits. And he brought me through the waters. And the waters came up to my ankles. And again, he measured another 1,000 cubits and brought me through the waters. And the water came up to my knees. And again, he measured another 1,000 and brought me through. And the water came up to my waist. And again, he measured 1,000, and it was a river I could not cross, for the water was too deep, water in which one must swim, a river that could not be crossed. And I felt very strongly that God was saying, the effect of what and who you are through me will be bigger as you move away from the individual fellowship. Our effect will be greater in the city of God, if you like, as we go. And we've already seen it. Dave has said this morning, you know, both Food Bank and Activate are getting acknowledgements beyond probably the rating we give them. You know, other people are seeing the effect. Somebody once said, I can't remember who it was now, said one of the council people has said, you know, we wanted to come down because all the good stuff's happening down where you are. More than we can understand. And that is, I believe that is the case. God wants us to work outside, but that impact will become more and more as we work outside of the church, outside of this, us as what we traditionally think as church. And that's where I start, really, because it's then, okay, Lord, where do we go from there? Back in the end of last year, I was talking to Richard and I said, I don't think we can do that all on our own. Where do we go with it? And the answer was to get back to where we need to go. I think we need to get back to prayer. A year of prayer, laying down the foundations. I don't think it's going to take us a year for it to happen. But I think things are going to happen where? Because it's down to us as an attitude. But it's a year of prayer that is the challenge to all the churches to buy into. Because we cannot do it alone. A third one. You know, we can't do it alone without God. And I don't believe we can do it alone. I don't believe God wants us to do it alone. He wants to bring along the Anglican Church, Roman Catholic Church, the Methodist Church, Victory. You know, it's not about us. It's about His kingdom. But I'm not good at prayer. but perhaps I've got back to, or perhaps I've gone through the traditional, I'll pray for this and this and this and this and this and this and this. And I don't think that's God, what God wants. Scary prayers, I call them. Open prayers. I've put it on a different slide. My prayer at the moment is every church, every person, every day, praying God move in our town and in our churches. Really long, until you start thinking, oh, that's a bit scary. What does it do with me as far as that's concerned? The challenge is for everyone. Done that one. Yeah, every church, every person, every day, God move in our town and our churches. But that requires me to think about God change me, move in me. But in keeping it simple, but scary, it's probably easy to remember to do it for me because I haven't got lots of messages to do. We talk about a church without walls. I'm going to call this a prayer without walls. Because it is. It is very much not my agenda. It's about how, you know, God, do what you're going to do. Where are we going to do it? How are you going to do it? And him saying, you know, you're in the middle of a work thing. And he says, you know, hang on a minute. You're going to say something too? Okay. You know, it is, if we're going to pray and we're going to open our heart, we've got to expect it to actually, him to challenge us and work through us. And then I thought about first love prayer. Now, I'm not very romantic, as my wife will tell me at times. In fact, quite often. Because that's not the way I'm made. But, you know, when we first were going out, you know, Sheila's priority 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, etc. And it's, yeah, but it isn't now. You know that. But that, you know, when you're first in love, you know, it's always about them. You'll do whatever. They like to go and see. Oh, we'll go and see them then. You know, it isn't it? And that's what God talks about. When he talks about first love prayer, you know, that's what we need to get back to. It's him and him first. Scary, yes. But actually, if we remember God, he's a, you know, if we can't trust him, there's nobody we can trust. Prayer, putting God in charge. But of course, there's our example, or potentially our example, Jesus in Gethsemane. Not what I want, but what you want is what matters, God. We're going to take communion later, and I'll come back to this because he is our example. The Christian walk is not always without its challenges. I remember somebody once saying in a previous fellowship, he said, if you're doing today what you did yesterday, that's experience. If you're moving out into the net, doing something beyond that, that's faith. If you're doing what you did, you're doing today what you did yesterday, that's experience. If you're doing what, going beyond that, that's faith. And that's our challenge. I believe that's our challenge to us. You know? Yeah. And I think this is part of what Bob preached last Sunday, and thank you, Bob, because I can hear echoes of some of the stuff I've got in my head going on. I might not be communicating it as well as Bob does, because he's really good at preaching. But God is the way. What he wants us is to live through the the fruit of the Spirit in the way we're walking. And it's not about, I'm going to get there. It's, I am getting there, if you like. It is the way that we are. And perhaps we have to go back in prayer to firing up the engines again, if you like, as far as that's concerned. Oh, perhaps got to that far already. Let me come back one stage if I can. I want you to take a moment to think. Am I ready? Am I open to God changing me? And if you're not, I suggest that's because, well, it is for me, so I'm not going to say it to other people. It is for me. It has been for me. How much do I trust God? How much do I understand He loves me and that He won't put me in that place which isn't right for me? So God, are you prepared to take me on that next step? Do I trust you enough? Do I know you enough to be able to take that next step? But prayer also isn't about only about us. I believe this prayer should be about unity. All the fellowships praying together, not necessarily in the same place, because it's not about us. And if God blesses somewhere else, He won't bless us any less. You know, it would be great to have a challenge where St. Augustine's is really on fire and we're going, we want to be there. We want to be doing that. Or, you know, the Methodist is the same. You know, it doesn't take, you know, God wants it in, this in all the places. He wants it in our fellowship. This prayer needs to, it is about a personal challenge, but it's also not selfish. It is about God moving anywhere and everywhere. But it's not specific. It's God move. The echo there is that we were praying for healing and it's open your heart. By opening your heart, you're not actually putting any rules behind it. So God, I think, wants us to pray for our town, for our other fellowships. And that's the challenge. And I believe the churches are going to do that from next Sunday for a whole year. It's got some prompts, but I believe the biggest prayers will be the really wide open ones. And that's the second point. It's selflessly. It's not our agenda. It's God, what do you want? Bless us, bless others, move us on. It's about listening as much as talking. We know that, really. It's just we're not very good at it at times. Or we think if we don't say anything, then something else is going to come into our minds. Actually, that may be God prompting us on that to pray. Was it this one today or was it tomorrow's I saw? Now here it is. This is point. This is today's word for today. Sometimes we've a very hard time being fully present in prayer. We all know what it's like to be with another person when their mind is a million miles away. Sheila says, "Tick." What's the answer? Try jotting down what goes on while you're praying. The two most common hindrances to prayer successfully are your mind gets easily distracted by others, or you are getting tired. When author John Ortberg shared these two frustrations with a friend, he suggested that John go outside alone and simply invite Jesus to come along with him. Ortberg writes, "The next day I went to the ocean, took off my shoes, started to run and invited Jesus to come along." I suggest this isn't our normal traditional idea of prayer. But sometimes you've got to try things differently. He says, "I found the strangest thing. When I thought I was supposed to be talking to him, I found it effortful and difficult." So when he did it in the normal way, it wasn't easy. "Now that all I had to do was invite him, Jesus, I couldn't stop thinking about him. I found myself wanting to point out the pelicans and the waves to him. People and concerns would pop into my mind and I would find myself telling Jesus about them. Everything changed." I'll have to drink of water. If you're finding prayer difficult, stop beating yourself up and try and get back to it being really simple. Prayer, a love affair. That first, when you were first in love, you weren't thinking the difficult things. You were just trying to enjoy it and make it enjoyable for the other person. You probably weren't overthinking it. You were just in the moment, enjoying it. And I suggest that's where we need to get back to in our prayer, as a love affair. Because when we're in love, it makes, we want to do it. I'll share you a thought that's on my heart. Now, I'm not saying this is prophecy, because I'm not sure it is. I'm more confident about the first four or five. My vision is to see that by 2030, Rugeley will be the best place to live in the UK. How is that going to happen? The only way it's going to happen if God blesses this town and works in this town, and if this town is his. I'm not saying that to the non-Christians, I'm saying I want it to be the best town, but the only way it will work, it's such a big dream, it's if God's in it. It's the churches working together. It's us working together. It's God seeing us. It's people seeing us, seeing God through us. Got it right. Which is probably back to that fruit of the Spirit. It is that joy, that faithfulness, that gentleness, that goodness, pervading our atmosphere. God in his nature, pervading our atmosphere. I think I want to move into communion. I want to do some prayer afterwards, but I could do with that. Sheila, would you go to the art room and just tell Dave and Marie that we're going to do communion in the next few minutes. So if they want to come in, the youth come in or not, then that's the timing for it. I was thinking on this prayer. I come back to this piece about Jesus, not my will, but yours be done. And it reminded me of a thought I had for communion, which is why I wanted to go into communion. Some years, I've always wondered, why there were two elements to the communion, apart from that's the way it says it is. And God just challenged me with this thought. The first is to remember what he's done. Tick, absolutely right. The second is to move forward from that. And that is potentially a challenge. Well, it is a challenge to us. I'm going to use a piece of scripture that comes out of Jeremiah 31, but it's also in Hebrews 8. And so I'm going to read this, and I'll probably come back to it in a minute. But because it talks about, this is my blood of the new covenant. What's this new covenant about? It's a first love relationship. He wants us to be heart to heart. In the Old Testament, it was always about, there was that space between God and man because of the fall, and therefore they had to do all of their sacrifices. But in Jeremiah, God says, and I'm going to read it because it's repeated in Hebrews 8. And it's Hebrews 8. Verse 10. This is the commandment I will make with the house of Israel, which is us. I will put my laws in their minds and write them on their hearts. I will be their God, and they will be my people. I'm going to read that slide. I'm going to rephrase one of those words to pick up what Bob said last week. I will put my way in their minds and write it on their hearts. Because when we talk about the law is, it is the thing we do. But that's not what God wants. God wants a personal relationship with each one of us. It isn't about law. It's about him being the way that we live. For better or better. And I did say that as I meant to say it. Better or better. You know, he wants, he has put his way in our hearts and our minds.